let's discuss iodine deficiency. Iodine is required for the synthesis of thyroid hormones, and the best source is typically the seafood. They are found in smaller amounts in milk, meat, vegetables, cereals, etc. Iodine deficiency will lead to enlargement of thyroid glands, typically called as goiter, which is found as swelling, looks like a butterfly in the lower part of the front of the neck. There will be decreased intelligence, hearing defects, speech defects in children, mixed edema, cretinism, spontaneous abortion, and miscarriage. How do you prevent it? Use of iodized salt, increased intake of seafood, health education, and the iodized salt pocket will be shown with the Smiling Sun logo. National and international healthcare system. The hospital in the USA, these can be classified as the governmental, not-for-profit and proprietary or profit on the basis of ownership. Government hospitals in turn are classified as federal, state and local. So federal hospitals serve group eligible as the result of some type of legislative entitlement. For example, the Veterans Administration Hospital can serve eligible veterans. State facilities are generally are for either mental or tuberculosis hospitals. There are certain government insurance plans in USA. In addition to private insurance plans, two major public insurance plans operate in US, that is the Medicare and the Medicaid, the Social Security Act. Medicare is a federal program. The eligibility generally includes those people age 65 years and above, and the permanently and the totally disabled or with end stage renal disease. This is very important, Social Security. In the United States, I wish we have something similar in India now. Because for senior citizens, I feel cost should never be a prohibitive factor if they need to go to a hospital. So there are many people who have their plans, insurance policies, but majority of the Indians still don't have insurance in place, and healthcare by the day is getting expensive. So it is very important that government stresses on insurance in our country also. Medical is a joint federal state program. It provides a minimum set of services to recipients that include inpatient and outpatient care, physician's office care, laboratory, x-ray, family planning services, mental health benefit and early diagnostic, screening and treatment services. So these are several, this is a state run program, and there are some minimum set of services which are laid down, which are offered to the people. Structure and function of the public health system in the United States of America. The Department of Health and Human Services is the primary site of public health activities. The operational arms of the public health include National Institutes of Health, the Health Resources and Services Administration, also known as HRSA, the FDA, that is the Food and Drug Administration, the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration. State health agency activities. In each state, there is a state health agency, also known as HSA, the activities of which vary considerably. Generally, they look after the Medicaid, mental health services, and some environmental health issues such as food services, recreational facility inspections, etc. State health agencies vary considerably from state to state, but there is even more variability in the approximately 3,000 local public health departments in the United States. Generally, the local health departments serve small populations. Two-thirds of the local health departments serve a jurisdiction containing fewer than 50,000 people. Now, let's see the healthcare delivery system in India. In India, the healthcare delivery system broadly consists of the following sectors or agency. One is the public health sector, under which you have the primary healthcare center, also known as PHC. So, you have the primary health centers, sub-centers. Then there are the hospitals or the health centers, which are the community health centers, the rural hospitals, the district hospitals, teaching hospitals, and the specialist hospitals. The health insurance scheme, typically the employee state insurance scheme, that is the ESIS, and the central government health scheme, that is the CGHS. Other agencies are the defense and the railways. Let's come to the private sector now. Private hospitals, polyclinics, dispensaries, and nursing homes. General practitioners and clinics. Private hospitals include hospitals run on profit basis, no profit basis, that is the trust hospitals which we just discussed previously, and the corporate hospitals. Then there are the voluntary health agencies and the national health programs. So this flowchart typically explains what we have just discussed. The organization of healthcare in India typically falls under the union list, the union government, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, and the concurrent list, under which you have all these following headings. How organization of healthcare at the district level, which starts with a municipal organization which has a medical officer of health, municipal hospitals, dispensaries, other infrastructure, then there is a Zilla Parishad, there is a health committee. Now let's discuss the integrated healthcare in India. Keeping in view the World Health Organization goals, that is health for all, by 2080, the government evolved its national health policy based on primary care approach. First, at the village level, primary health care is delivered at the village level by, number one, that the village health guide, the local dai, and the Anganwadi worker. At the sub-center level, it is the peripheral output of the healthcare delivery system in rural area, which is established for every 5,000 population. At the PHC, that is the primary health center level, these are established for every 30,000 rural population in the plains and 20,000 population in hilly, tribal and backward areas. In the community health center, CHC level, some of the public health centers have been upgraded to function as community healthcare centers, each covering a population of 80,000 to 1 lakh in each community development block. Now let's discuss the ESIS, that is the Employee State Insurance Scheme. The scheme runs by contribution from employees, employers, and grants from the central and state governments. So typically, if an employee receives an X amount of salary, that is a certain amount that is taken towards the ESIS, which ensures, which is an insurance for the employee. So if God forbid he meets up with any accident or has any health related problems during the course of his employment, you know, he's taken care of. So the scheme covers employees drawing wages not exceeding ₹6,500 per month, and medical care is provided by ESI hospitals, ESI dispensaries, and through insurance medical practitioners. CGHS, that is the Central Government Health Scheme, it was started in 1954 to provide comprehensive medical care to central government employees, and the services include the outpatient care, laboratory and X-ray investigations, the domiciliary visits, and the hospitalization. So all these things, all these services were covered for the government employees. Besides that, maternal and child health care, specialist consultations, supply of optical and dental aids, emergency treatments, family welfare services. Now, defense medical services, these are the armed force medical services, integrated and comprehensive healthcare consisting of preventive, promotive and curative services, and provided to the defense personnel and their family members free of cost. So in a way, there are so many advantages when people are in defense services or even in the government, because all these services are very expensive, which are provided to people who are in defense or in government services free of cost. Railway medical services, comprehensive healthcare is provided to all railway employees and their family members through the agency of railway clinics, health units and hospitals. The lady medical officers, health visitors and midwives provide the MCH and school health services. At the divisional hospitals, specialist consultation is also available. Now let's come to private agencies. So there are a lot of private doctors, private practitioners, private nursing homes, hospitals which are functioning in the cities, and they are equally important. So at one hand you have the government and the armed forces hospitals, but even the private practitioners cater to a large population, and in the cities, especially in the metro cities, without the private practitioners, the healthcare would actually collapse. So majority of the general practitioners, and they generally constitute majority of the medical profession. Most of the only minus point is, you know, most of the private practitioners focus their attention only towards the urban areas. They rule out the rural areas. But if that, this is my opinion, if they even shift to the rural areas, you know, there is a huge chunk of population in the rural areas who are seeking for quality healthcare, and India, where the population is so huge, I think it is very necessary that the distribution of healthcare facilities is proper so that everybody has an access to quality healthcare. So there are private clinics, dispensaries, nursing homes, hospitals, functions and activities of these private practitioners, and they are regulated by Medical Council of India. The services of the private agencies are for those who can pay. Yes, they are expensive to some extent, but not all, I would say, are expensive. There are private institutions which even give treatment at the same rate or maybe at a slightly higher rate to what others are offering. But I would say in their absence, healthcare would not function in the same way what it is now. Voluntary health agencies, it includes both national and international health agencies. Some of these agencies working in India are the Indian Red Cross Society, the Hinshut, and the Indian Council for Child Welfare, the Tuberculosis Association of India, Bharat Sevat Samaj, the Kasturba Memorial Fund, and the Family Planning Association of India. The All India Blind Relief Society, Nivaran Sangh, health programs in India, Rotary Clubs. Yes, Rotary Clubs are doing a phenomenal job. Lot of Rotary camps happening, lot of education programs, lot of treatment programs, the professional bodies, international agencies. Now let us discuss the systems of medicine in India. Primarily, they are the Ayurvedic, Homeopathic, Unani and the Siddha system. At present, the doctor population ratio, you know, we were just discussing that in the country is 1:2148. So there are 45 nurses and 6.8 beds per 1 lakh population. The rate now is 23,666 primary health centers and 2,962 community health centers. So now the whole challenge currently is there is a lot of saturation of healthcare professionals in urban areas, whereas other parts of the country, the interiors, the tier 3 cities or maybe the rural areas, not enough medical facilities are available. I think if we are able to break this problem, or if we are able to find the right balance, then healthcare would be available for everybody, and that too quality healthcare. National and international health programs. The major national health programs are the National Malaria Eradication Program, National Filarial Control Program, National Leprosy Education Program, National Tuberculosis Control Program, the AIDS Control Program, and the Iron Deficiency Disorders Control Program. National Program for Control of Blindness, our Reproductive and Child Health Program, and the National Guinea Worm Eradication Program. These are the various programs that are there. The other national health programs are Guinea Worm Eradication Program, Cancer Control Program, Diabetes Control Program, Filarial Control Program, Mental Health Program, Family Welfare Program, the National Water Supply and Sanitation Program, Minimum Needs Program, the Development Program, and the Integrated Rural 20-Point Program. Let's now come to international health. Health and disease have no political or geographical boundaries, as we know. And disease in any part of the world is a constant threat to any other part because it can spread. So typically, the example is in 14th century, a procedure known as quarantine, which was introduced in Europe to protect against the importation of plague. International conferences aimed at standardizing quarantine regulation procedures have been held since 1851. There are many other examples. So the Pan-American Sanitary Bureau was established in 1902, primarily to coordinate quarantine procedures in the United States. The establishment of the Office International de Hygiene Public in 1907 followed this, which was the precursor of the Health Office of the League of Nations. In 1948, the World Health Organization, that is the WHO, assumed the functions of the Health Office. There are wide gaps between the developing and the developed countries in matters related to health. This is very important. There is a huge gap, you know, between countries which are still developing and the developed countries in matters related to health. There is a new emerging infections like HIV, Ebola virus, hepatitis C, E virus, Vibrio, cholera, etc. The natural history of many of these infections is not completely known. There is the problem of re-emerging infections like tuberculosis, malaria, hemophilus. We have just discussed tuberculosis and malaria, you know, where malaria till recent times people were not aware of what dengue is, but now they are. Similarly, many such diseases, you know, there's a lot of re-emerging of infections which are re-emerging as minor infection threatening to the health of the world. There are many international bilateral health agencies working in the field of international health. Also, there are several NGOs, that is a non-governmental organization and private organizations, who are working actively in this field. Now, agencies involved in international, as we all know, World Health Organization, also called as WHO, UNICEF, that is the United National Development Program, that is UNDP, the Food and Agriculture Organization, the United Nations Funds for Population Refugees, and the Office of the UN High Commissions for Organization. Now, bilateral agencies include the US Agency for International Development, the Swedish International Development, the Canadian International Development Agencies, etc. There are several non-governmental agencies like the International Red Cross Societies, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Cooperative for Assistance and the Relief Everywhere. Cooperative for Assistance and Relief Everywhere, Ford Foundation, Aga Khan Foundation, etc. Most important, World Health Organization, WHO, it came into existence on 7th April 1948, celebrated each year as the World Health Day. The objective of WHO is the attainment by all peoples of the highest levels of health. In the recent years, two major policies developments have influenced the WHO. First is the Global Strategy for Health for All by 2000. So, activities of WHO. Communication, communicable diseases, control of HIV, tuberculosis, malaria, yellow fever, sexually transmitted diseases, etc. Non-communicable disease control of cancer, cardiovascular diseases, genetic disorders, mental disorders, drug addiction, dental disease, occupational and environmental health problems and health statistics. Programs dealing with biomedical research, education and training of health personnel, information and technology transfer and quality control of biological products and pharmaceutical products. Also collaboration with other organizations such as with UN, US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Public Health Laboratory Service in UK, the Canadian Addiction Research Foundation and several others. UNICEF, also called United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, was established as one of the specialized UN agencies in 1946. Now the agency is known as UB Children's Fund. It is headquartered in New York, while its regional office for South Central Asia region is New Delhi. UNICEF is active in the field of child immunization, child nutrition, family, child welfare, child education, etc. The Rockefeller Foundation program includes a training of competent medical teachers and research projects. Similarly, the Ford Foundation has been active in the development of rural health services and family planning. CARE provides emergency and long-term development assistance. In India, it is supporting the Integrated Child Development Scheme and the development of programs in the areas of health and income supplementation. NIDA, that is providing assistance for the development of services and the National Blindness Control Program. Thank you.